live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the process for choosing a successor to Liz Truss will be announced later this evening. Former UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak is the bookie's favourite. Here, the Social Protection Minister says it's important for Ireland that there is political stability in the UK. Direct rule from Westminster is not the most likely outcome if there isn't a resolution to the Northern Ireland crisis. That's according to the leaders of both Alliance and the Ulster Unionists. The North's Health Minister, Robin Swan, has thanked emergency first responders from Northern Ireland who attended the Chrysler tragedy, and the Mica Action Group says a response to a letter from Dara O'Brien isn't satisfactory. Later in the bulletin, Kenny is here with Sports News, and that's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the resignation as the UK Prime Minister earlier this afternoon of Liz Truss, and the process of choosing a successor will be announced later this evening. Former UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak is the bookie's favourite to take over. It's thought former Prime Minister Boris Johnson may well throw his hat in the ring as well. Reports say he's taking soundings, believing it to be a matter of national interest. Well, Liz Truss announced her resignation just after 1:30 this afternoon in a hastily arranged press conference at Downing Street. She had earlier met with the chair of the 1922 committee, the committee of Conservative MPs in the House of Commons. After just 44 days in office, Liz Truss today became the UK's shortest ever serving Prime Minister. She told the press conference at Downing Street she was disappointed that she couldn't deliver on more of her policies.
I recognise, though, given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning.
Well, here the Social Protection Minister, Heather Humphreys, says it's important for Ireland that there is political stability in the UK.
I have to say that, it's concerning to see this going on in the UK because they're our nearest neighbours. 30% of our exports go to the UK, and economic turmoil there has an impact on us. So I hope that they get a new leader in place quickly and they move on, because it's uncertainty is not good for anybody.
And that's been echoed by Taoiseach Micheál Martin, who said this evening he hopes that a successor to Liz Truss is appointed swiftly. Northern Ireland now, and the First Minister-designate Michelle O'Neill says she believes another Assembly election is on the cards there. She says the internal difficulties of the Conservative Party in London are hampering efforts to find resolutions to issues around the Northern Ireland Protocol. Well, the North's caretaker ministers will lose their powers in 8 days if there is no resolution to the current power-sharing breakdown. It then seems another election is inevitable. Well, the Alliance leader, Naomi Long, says it is possible that both the UK and Irish governments may end up having a say in the day-to-day running of Northern Ireland.
So I think we would be talking about a form of direct rule that would involve Irish participation and not just direct rule from Westminster. I would not be hopeful, I have to say. I mean, given the chaos in Westminster, we would be going from the frying pan into the fire.
Well, that's a view echoed by the Ulster Unionist leader, Doug Beattie. He says anyone who believes that direct rule from Westminster will automatically follow as a result of the current internal political turmoil is badly mistaken.
If people think there's a utopia out there that it's just going to be a direct rule from London, then they're mistaken. They're politically illiterate. The reality is, if we do not get a government here, if we don't get up and running here, we are going to have influence coming from all different directions, and that's not going to be good for unionism. And the one thing that you find with people is this: if they look for government and there isn't one there, they will look to the nearest government to give them support, and that might well be looking towards Dublin.
Well, Doug Beattie's party colleague, the North's Health Minister Robin Swan, has thanked emergency first responders from Northern Ireland who attended the Chrysler tragedy. Mr Swan, along with the Secretary of State Chris Heaton-Harris, met with fire service and ambulance personnel at Crescent Link Fire Station in Derry today. Mr Swan said as the devastating events unfolded just over a fortnight ago, emergency crews and specialised units mobilised at speed to support their counterparts across the border. This cooperation, he said, has long been a daily reality, and there are established protocols in place for mutual aid. Mr Swan said working in partnership with the Donegal Fire Service, the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service tasked its specialist rescue team from Belfast, a command support unit from Kilray and supporting pump from Strabane, along with officers from the Western Area Command. The MICA Action Group says a written reply was received from the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, this morning to a letter sent to him by the group's chairperson, Lisa Hone, earlier this week. The group asked questions about communication with Donegal County Council and raised concerns about the urgency of several cases where damage to homes is very seriously bad. The group says the response doesn't address or give sufficient detail on the current critical issues raised in the original letter. They say a follow-up letter seeking such information is currently being drafted. You can read the original letter and Minister Dara O'Brien's response on our website, highlandradio.com. The chair of Donegal County Council's MICA Redress Committee, meanwhile, says efforts need to revolve now around making the redress scheme work for as many people as possible. The revised scheme is expected to be up and running by February. It had been hoped it would be well in place by Christmas. Councillor Martin McDermott says it's important that something is done for those living in the worst affected properties. They are, he said, at this point, living in fear.
We have a scheme that we have to make work, and we have to try and, you know, make it work for as many people as possible, because, as you know, there's a lot of people in very, very trying circumstances at the minute and living in accommodation that they shouldn't be living in. And we have to try, and the scheme's there, it's past legislation, you know, we have to try, and I have to try and make it work.
When the enhanced scheme, when will it be up and running?
Well, speaking to the department, they are saying that the regulations will be up and ready before Christmas, and that the new scheme will be opening in February. Now, that's what they're saying, Greg. I would certainly hope, and the pressure will be kept on to make sure that that happens. But I would see it's probably going to be the first quarter, certainly, of 2023 before the new scheme opens. It's so important that people that are living in fear at the minute, that we can get something done for them right away, because that is, no one should have to live in a house that they're feared to live in.
And that was Martin McDermott speaking there to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. The judges in Jerry the Monk Hutch's murder trial have heard evidence about the seizure of three AK-47 assault rifles 1 month after the Regency Hotel shooting. They were found in a car being driven by a Donegal man. Mr. Hutch is on trial for the murder of David Byrne, who was shot dead at a boxing weigh-in at the Dublin Hotel 6 years ago. With more, here's Court's correspondent Frank Grinney.
Just after 7 p.m. on the 9th of March 2016, 33 days after the Regency Hotel shooting, Gardaí stopped a Vauxhall Insignia just outside Slane, County Meath. It was being driven northwards by a man called Shane Rowan of Forest Park, Killigordon in County Donegal, and in the boot of the car an AK-47 assault rifle was found wrapped in a yellow rug. Two more AK-47s were found wrapped in white shirts. Three loaded magazines were also recovered from the boot of the car, as well as one loose bullet. David Byrne died from multiple gunshot wounds after armed men, three of whom were armed with AK-47s and dressed as Gardaí, stormed the boxing event he was attending on the 5th of February 2016. Jerry Hutch has pleaded not guilty to his murder, and two others also on trial have pleaded not guilty to less serious offences. Frank Graney at the Special Criminal Court.
It's emerged work won't start on a new sewage treatment plant for Moville until 2027. That's despite the EPA highlighting it as one of 12 large towns and cities in Ireland that didn't meet wastewater treatment standards that have been set to protect the environment. Eight areas of Donegal are still releasing raw sewage into the environment because they're not connected to treatment plants. They are Burtonport, Coolatee, Falkara, Kerrykeel, Kilcar, Moville, Remelton and Rathmullen. Noel Byrne from the EPA says Irish Water needs to act quickly.
We are moving in the right direction. What the EPA are highlighting today is that Irish Water still failed to provide solutions and plans to improve treatment at one-third of the remaining priority areas that are impacting on our rivers.
Well, Councillor Michael McClafferty says there were plans in place to upgrade the treatment plant in Falkara. They haven't come to pass yet. He says that process needs to be expedited.
I had a conversation with an engineer regarding the situation, and at the time the conversation led to that they were keeping an eye on things as best as they could. They were monitoring the situation, trying to limit what they could limit. The whole problem going forward, unless we get a new treatment plant in Falkara, it's going to be very difficult otherwise. The existing one there at the minute, it's not a proper treatment plant as such. It's an old treatment plant. It may have gone back in the day, acceptable when everything was built, probably approximately 40 years ago. As we sit today, with more houses built, more people living around, everything else, the thing is totally mushroomed, so the plant itself is totally inadequate for what's going on. It seems there is plans there for it, but but it's just it just didn't get taken off, and it's been sitting on the shelf since. We have a meeting now coming up in the coming weeks again with Irish Water, and I hope to get it raised again that day and try and get some answers.
The North's Infrastructure Minister has reaffirmed his commitment to the delivery of the A5. Minister John O'Dowd addressed a special meeting of Derry City and Strabane District Council to provide an update on the project. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Minister John O'Dowd says he is acutely aware of the collision history on the A5, and therefore the carriageway, he says, is essential to improve road safety. The minister says it is an important route to contribute to economic growth and improve connectivity across the island. The meeting heard of the importance that the A5 moves forward without further delay. Minister O'Dowd assured council members and the public that officials are working to ensure that the reconvened public inquiry is held as soon as possible. It is anticipated following the receipt of the PAC's final report that the necessary statutory processes and environmental assessments, construction could commence in 2024.
Actor James Nesbitt says he's saddened after being targeted by menacing graffiti. The message threatening the actor, which was daubed on a wall in Portrush, is being treated by the PSNI as a hate crime. It appeared just weeks after Mr. Nesbitt was the keynote speaker at an event in Dublin, organised by a campaign group advocating a United Ireland. Mr. Nesbitt said he doesn't believe it reflects the views of the majority of people in his hometown.
It really saddens me because I'm just sorry that this has kind of been brought to Portrush, brought to my neighbours, brought to a community that I love, because I mean, I really love Portrush, and I'm sure it doesn't represent what the majority, I hope it doesn't represent what the majority of the people think there.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. Starting with some League of Ireland news, and Keith Buckley will return as Bohemians captain next season. The midfielder signed a 3-year contract following a year away travelling. New Bows manager Declan Devine was officially unveiled today, and he wants to help the club break from the pack next season.
The club has been close in the last couple of years. Let's not forget that. We have good structures in place. This is, in my opinion, it's the biggest football club in Ireland. I'm fortunate to be in the position. But we're not going to really concentrate on the rest. We've got to concentrate on ourselves first, build and get ourselves ready that we're competitive next season, and that we have a team of players that are going to drive this team right up a table.
Arsenal look to preserve their 100% record in the Europa League Group A this evening. They welcome PSV Eindhoven to the Emirates in their rearranged fixture. Kickoff is at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, Leicester, they can climb off the bottom of the Premier League tonight if they pick up a point at home to Leeds. 8:15 is the kickoff time there. Elsewhere, struggling Aston Villa, they go to Fulham. That one starts at 7:30. And Colin O'Brien's Republic of Ireland under-17s begin their Euro qualifying campaign in Norway. They take on Armenia in their first group game. That game just kicked off there at 5 o'clock. Up in Scotland, Kilmarnock striker Kyle Lafferty has been banned for 10 matches by the Scottish FA. That was after making a sectarian comment in a video posted on social media. The Northern Ireland international was handed a substantial fine by his club last month and was also dropped from his country's Nations League squad. Lafferty says there's no excuses for his actions. In Gaelic games, Mayo GAA say they'll continue to liaise with Connacht GAA and the GAA regarding concerns raised by Castlebar Mitchells. The club has submitted a report to the GAA and Tusla saying they have reasonable grounds for concern relating to child abuse. It follows an incident at an under-17 semi-final which resulted in a 96-week ban that was appealed down to just 2 games. Mitchell say the appeal findings are not in keeping with the best interests of child welfare. In golf in the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy is 3 under par through his first 6 holes at the CJ Cup. Shane Lowry's 1 under through 8, while Seamus Power, he starts shortly. American Trey Mullinex is the early leader in South Carolina on 6 under par. On the DP World Tour, Niall Kearney's level par with 6 to play at the Mallorca Open. Jonathan Caldwell's 1 over with Cormac Shervin. He shot a 10 over par round of 81. England's Marcus Armitage is the clubhouse leader on 8 under par. And Leona Maguire's 9 shots off the lead after her opening round at the LPGA Tour's BMW Ladies Championship in Korea. The Cavan native carried at a level par 72 with Thailand's Anita Tikatikul out in front on 9 under par. Stephanie Meadow posted a 74 to finish on 2 over par. In rugby, Connacht have made 6 changes for tomorrow night's visit of the Scarlets to the sports ground. Cian Prendergast celebrates his Ireland call-up with a start at blindside flanker. Kieran Merriman starts at scrum half and Tiernan O'Halloran starts at fullback. In snooker, Mark Allen will be in last 16 action at the Northern Ireland Open this evening. The Antrim man will face China's Zhao Guodong, having completed a 4-3 win over Andy Lee this morning. And in boxing, Tyson Fury will fight fellow British boxer Derek Chisora on the 3rd of December following the collapse of negotiations with Anthony Joshua. He'll put his WBC heavyweight world title on the line at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London. It'll be the 3rd meeting between the two boxers. And on the score this week, former Finn Harps manager Anthony Gorman, he joins us to look at the League of Ireland action. Derry All-Ireland winner Eamon Burns looks ahead to the Derry Senior Championship final meeting of Glen and Sloughmeil, while Andy Connors takes his Tiernan Ladies into the opening round of Ulster. Plus, we'll hear from one of the top athletes from the 1980s, Sean Carlin. And also, Michael Murphy will be on looking at the ATU Donegal starting their new competitive sport season. That's all on the score after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kelly. It's a Thursday evening, and that means it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lyford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lyford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lyford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the new Acres scheme, which is finally open for applications. Big interest here in Donegal. But first, the Ross's IFA branch, in conjunction with the Gardaí here in Donegal, will host a property marking event in Mina Cross Hall in Dunloe tomorrow between 7 and 9 o'clock. To find out more, I've been speaking with the Donegal IFA PRO, Tom Boyd.
Yeah, Chris, so this is something, I suppose, it's been in the pipeline for a couple of years now. It started off back in late 2019, and it was introduced and the machines were got into the county, but then COVID came along and it all kind of stopped, like everything. So we've been getting this rolling now for a while. So we're kicking off tomorrow night in Mina Cross there. This is kind of the first time for it to be held with the guards there. It's a great job, but we had it once at the farm safety event there last July in Carrigans, and it's quite simple. Look, it only takes a couple of minutes. You can mark any item you want, really, from heavy machinery to people are getting their iPhones marked.
What exactly is the mark that's put on?
Way back then, it was a special code was put on, but now they're using your air code because it's obviously linked to your house, and you can prove then that it is your item. So it's quite simple. It takes a couple of minutes. The machine that just scribes code into any materials really at all, from metal, carbon fibre. You know, people are bringing along bicycles, chainsaws, trailers, digger buckets, anything really at all.
So the idea really being that the would-be thief, if he did take something, that he then has to bother if he's trying to get rid of it, that it's got this identification mark on it.
I suppose the way it'll work really is if the item... As you know, if you say your trailer was stolen and that's my trailer there, and the guards say, well, how do we prove this? And you go, well, look, the air code is there inscribed under the back door, and that's my air code, and they can check, and there you go.
Yeah. Would people get it inscribed in maybe a place that's out of the way and that they may only know about?
That's the idea. Mostly, it's only different places for everything. You know, you can get it done wherever you want. It doesn't have to be visible, and it's probably better it's not visible, because, you know, then there's ways of cutting it out or whatever. But if you, as long as you know where it is and you can show them, you're safe. So the plan is to hopefully roll it out around the county, and we'll have a day down the south of the county, and then we'll head out to the east, and wherever there's demand for it, we can organise it with the Garda, and we can have it a day wherever there is. You know, if anybody wants to get in touch with myself about organising the day, they can give me a ring on 0857579026, and I can help to get it organised. Or if anybody wants to come along this Friday and they're unsure about it, just give me a ring and I'll help them out.
And that number again for Tom Boyd, 0857579026. Amy Ford, acting news editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. The new €1.5 billion acre scheme is finally open for applications, and there is going to be a flood of them.
Yeah, Chris, so the new acre scheme is going to make up a massive portion of farmers' payments over the coming years. Basically, it's the replacement to GLOSS, and it's open now for 30,000 farmers to apply in this tranche of the scheme. It's worth $1.5 billion, as you say, over the next cap period, and it's going to close for applications on the 21st of November. Now, that's a tight enough window to get 30,000 applications in, if that's how many apply in this tranche, and advisors are going to have the foot to the floor to get those applications in. There's around 3,200 farm sustainability plans already completed and oven ready to go. But obviously, if they want to hit the target of 30,000, there's going to be serious work needed to be done over the coming weeks.
And of course, there is a charge to associated with it getting your plan in.
Yeah, it depends on who you're going with. So if you're a Chagas client, obviously they set prices depending on your farm size. It'll be anywhere from €320 to €550. Chagas has confirmed, obviously farms less than 10 hectares will get the €320, and farms between 10 and 35 will be in the €450 range. And it's over 35 hectares, which would be the average farm size in Ireland, to be charged €550. So they're the Chagas guns, and then the private advisors, they obviously set their own prices. They're ranging anywhere from, in the lower case, and in the general measures, from 300, give or take, right up to 800, including VAT. So obviously it depends on your advisor there. And advisors are saying there's a massive amount of work in each application, and they're hugely time-consuming.
And for farmers in Donegal, one would expect that there'll be considerable numbers taking this up.
Definitely. I think the Western Seaboard and the West Coast, Donegal, Kerry, Clare as well, there's expected to be many applications there along the lines of the cooperation measure, and obviously the general measure then for some farmers as well.
And also the next tranche of the organic farming scheme, that's open for applications as well, and that can be quite lucrative potentially.
It can be. For the average sheep or suckler farmer switching over in the first 2 years, they can earn €12,500. Obviously, if you've more hectares or less hectares, that payment will go up or down. But the payment rates have been increased by the department to make organic farming more enticing for farmers to apply. And because we have targets set in us that we need 7.5% of our total land to be under organic farming practices, basically, over the coming years. I think it's by 2030. So there's a long way to go there to reach that target. But as you say, the scheme is open for applications again. The last tranche had around 330 applications into the scheme, and they were all accepted. And Minister of State Pippa Hackett is expecting thousands to apply over the coming year this time around. So it'll be interesting to see how many apply for that. The deadline's the 9th of December, and again, advisors are going to be busy with that as well. So you've got acres and organics at the same time over a similar time period to get in. So I'm sure the pressure will be on advisors, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any extensions applied to either of those schemes.
Now, the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association, amongst those who have highlighted the space for nature threshold. So explain to us exactly what that is.
Yeah, space for nature. So this is something under the next cap, essentially, and farmers are urged to check that they meet the threshold first on their ag food accounts. Some farmers on private hillland could struggle to meet the requirement that 4% of ground on which direct payments basically are made qualifies as space for nature. As you said, the INHFA has urged its members to check whether their holdings meet this 4% threshold. So under the new cap, farmers have to allocate 4% of the ground, as I said there, for under direct payments, as space for nature to qualify for the new basic payment scheme. That's the basic income support for sustainability. And this is it's a measure also to available to farmers under the eco schemes in the next CAP. It's fully explained on page 8 of this week's journal, but essentially farmers are told to make sure that they check that they qualify, and where farms are between 7 and 10%, they satisfy one eco scheme requirement, and where it's above 10%, they qualify for two eco scheme measures. However, hill farmers are worried that, like, you know, the features that are needed for these space for nature, which are hedgerows, ditches, drains, stone walls, trees and so on, that some holdings on private hill land could struggle to meet the required 4% due to the absence of these features on their land, essentially.
And finally, Amy, the concrete levy that was proposed in Budget 2023, it's been rolled back from its original 10% to 5%, and I see the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee Chair Jackie Cahill says the levy must take into account farm building costs in August 2023. So we're going to hear quite a bit more about this still, aren't we?
Yeah, I suppose when the budget was announced, this was the one of the big shocks out of it, that no one was expecting that there'd be a concrete levy. Look, it's obviously to pay for mica-affected houses and other issues such as pyrite and for defective blocks and a defective block scheme. It had been set at 10%. It was due to come into effect in April 2023, but it's now been cut down to 5%, and it won't be won't come into effect until the 1st September next year. So it'll also no longer apply to precast concrete, but it'll also cover ready-mix and concrete blocks. ICSA President Dermot Kelleher said that reducing and delaying the levy doesn't go far enough, and he's also warned that the only thing that makes sense is to scrap it entirely. Farm organisations obviously against the levy in terms of farm building, a lot of which in fairness has been completed, but there is still a good bit of farm building ongoing that farmers will be subject to this levy from September next year.
And that was Amy Ford, the Acting News Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Thank you, Chris. Well, the forecast dry for much of this evening and tonight, with clear spells and just the odd shower. Rain will begin to edge in from the south, however, toward dawn, with lowest overnight temperatures 10 to 13 degrees Celsius, fresh and gusty east or southeast winds. Showery or longer spells of rain tomorrow, with dry and bright spells as well. Highest temperatures 14 to 17 degrees Celsius, breezy at times, with fresh and gusty southeast or cyclonic variable winds. Main news in brief. The process for choosing a successor to Liz Truss will be announced later this evening. Former UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak is the bookies' favourite, but former Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to throw his hat into the ring. He says he's considering it as a matter of national interest. The Mica Action Group says a written reply has been received from the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, to letters they sent to him earlier this week. The group says they asked important questions, but the response does not address them or give sufficient detail on the current issues. They say a follow-up letter seeking that information is now being drafted. The North's Health Minister, Robin Swan, has thanked emergency first responders from Northern Ireland who attended the Chrysler tragedy. Robin Swan and the Northern Secretary of State, Chris Heaton-Harris, met with fire service and ambulance personnel at Crescent Link Fire Station in Derry today. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Thursday evening, the 20th of October. The death has occurred at her residence of Kathleen Doherty, née McCabe, 287, the Cottages, Burnfoot, formerly of County Monaghan. Her remains will repose at her home from 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Removal on Sunday morning at 10:45 to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11:30, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member, or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Marjorie McDade, 18, Westfield, Newton Cunningham. Remains reposing at her home. House private, please, to family and friends. Requiem Mass in All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family Fair is only pleased donations in lieu of desired to a charity to be confirmed, care of any family member, or Jim Midlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Ina Doyle, Tully Arvin, Buncra. Funeral from there at 10:15 on Sunday morning, travelling to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill for 11 o'clock funeral mass, burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Daniel McFadden, Diesel Dan, 15 Lickford Road, Strabane. Dan's remains are reposing in the family home at 41 Spout Road, Strabane. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:50 for Requiem Mass at 12:30 in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, followed by interment in Strabane Cemetery. Family Fairs only, please. Donations, if desired, to Diabetes UK Northern Ireland, care of W.J. O'Brien and son. The death has occurred in Southend-on-Sea, England, of John Coyle, Birdie, formerly of Castle Derg. John's remains are reposing at his sister and brother-in-law Sinead and Stephen Moss's home at 45 Lisnacloon Road, Castle Derg. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church, Castle Derg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family Fairs only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of Charles Lynch, funeral director, or any family member. The death has occurred of Patsy Colquhoun, Transalla, St Johnson. Patsy is reposing at his late residence with the wake private to family and neighbours, please. Funeral from Transalla, St Johnson tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 to St Bathan's Church, St Johnson for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Oncology Unit at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Neil Gerald Doherty, Linsford, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his sister Anne and Mickey's home in Linsford. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for 11 o'clock Mass, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.